including the Center for Constitutional Rights, which did so much incredible legal work on human rights and on trying to hold the U.S. government accountable for the atrocities that it committed around the world. There's not enough words to describe how important Peter was to the progressive movement, to human rights over these last decades, since the late 50s, early 1960s. And it's sad to say goodbye to him, but we all continue to be inspired and guided by every deed, good deed that he did over his entire life.
Peter Kornbluh, I want to thank you for being with us, senior analyst at the National Security Archive. We'll link to your pieces in Foreign Policy and The Nation. That does it for our show. I'll be at the St. Louis International Film Festival tonight for two screenings of Steal This Story, Please, a documentary about Democracy Now. I'll be 7:30 at B&B Theaters in Creve Coeur, West Olive, 10 and Bowling, and at 9 o'clock, the second showing of Steal This Story, Please, at MX Movies and Bar. You can check out information, learn about tickets by going to democracynow.org under Speaking Events. We'll be doing the Q&A with one of the directors of the film. Happy early birthday to Diana Parra and Jenny Keenan. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Do you need some quiet mood music? Some soothing sounds?
Well, then never listen to Life During Wartime, because they just play really obnoxious DIY punk from local bands and international acts. Sometimes they have bands play live, and it's all with the yelling and the screaming and the I don't like my mom and dad or my teachers and all that kind of stuff. That's Life During Wartime, every other Wednesday from 10 to midnight, here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from 988 Oregon, a public service helping those who are feeling sad, struggling with alcohol or drug use, or just need someone to talk to. Trained counselors are able to listen and provide support 24/7. Confidential support available by text or phone call to 988. More info at 988oregon.org.
Good morning, Portland. You are listening to KBOO Community Radio. This is Genius Box. I'm one of your normal hosts, Althea. My oftentimes, actually perpetual co-host, Reed, is out on assignment today, but we have someone pinch hitting, someone you may remember. This is Eliza. Eliza's here. Hi, Eliza.
Hi, everyone in Portland and beyond. It is so great to be back. I'm so excited to be behind the mic and in front of Althea.
Okay, yeah, we got a little bit of that positional description that the listeners love. So Eliza, you have done talk radio with me before, kind of this time last year, but then you've disappeared from our airwaves. What gives? Where you been?
Unfortunately, I got a job, and it
the scourge of KBOO, by the way. Is people getting jobs and having to do other stuff.
It really was unfortunate. Well, I mean, it was like the epitome.
It was fortunate. It was what you wanted.
It was the epitome of bittersweet, where I, you know, got this position that I had been hoping for quite a while. And I also had to leave the airwaves, as you said, which really broke my heart, in the same way that the Blue Jays broke my heart with the World Series. But we don't need to talk about that.
Blue Jays?
Well, I mean, if anyone beating the Dodgers, honestly. Right. But again, we don't need to talk about it because that was also very sad about the Mariners. Mm-hmm. I understand. We have to move on. We have to grieve and move on.
Right.
Recently, like I said, I got a job and I'm working in habitat restoration.
Very cool.
Which is very cool. It is a sector of the environmental industry that has a lot of really nitty-gritty aspects to it that I really enjoy. There's scientific data collection, there's experiential data collection, there's field work. It's very blue-collar and laborer-oriented. It expands many different ways of working that really captures, I think, the ways that we could all work together in kind of that utopian commune that, of course, we all dream about. And it's really brought me a lot of joy.
And you've been doing, am I right, cartography as well? Map making of sorts?
One would use that term cartography if ArcGIS and other online tools might not be available to us, and I'd be doing it by hand.
Right.
Unfortunately, we no longer draw maps by hand.
So, okay, I didn't know that cartography implied by hand.
I think it does.
Are there like cartography snobs that would say, yeah, you're using a tool. Cringe, that's not cartography. That's just doing maps online.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
I haven't come across them because I'm not that deep in the field yet.
Right.
And I don't know how far I want to plunge, but I also have been doing some map making, which is exciting, learning about all the different ways to showcase data and tell a story visually is kind of similar to the work with KBOO, where we tell stories auditorily, sonically. And now I'm kind of switching it where if you can't speak to a person, but you can only show them what you want to show, what your story is, it's, you know, kind of putting up different obstacles to tell a story, and it's been expanding my mind in many ways.
Interesting. I mean, sometimes those limitations produce interesting results, which we are going to talk about later.
Exactly.
Well, I'm glad to have you back here on Genius Box, inside the Genius Box.
I'm here.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
We're folded in. So a little bit of the lay of the land of what we're doing on this episode. We have some recent goings on to discuss. Around 7:25-ish, we'll have a little midway song, and then we'll be taking your calls about our specific question that we want to hear from you about. So stay tuned for that. What the heck happened this week? Anything interesting? Probably not, right?
I heard some murmurs of some good news, some bad news.
At least there's a mix this time.
Right.
Sometimes we come on here and it's like, hey, guys. Hey, guys, it's tough out there.
Yeah, and we're here to just maybe talk about what's good in our personal lives, because on the local, state, federal, global level, things look a little gray.
Yeah.
But this week, there's some good news.
And which one do you want to start with, the good news?
I think we could start with the fact that Dick Cheney died.
I was wondering if you were going to say that or like the election results. But yeah, Dick Cheney dead.
Yeah.
So young, by the way.
I mean, I hardly had a chance to make an impact on the world. I heard a quote. I can't remember from what, but it was progress happens one funeral at a time.
Whoa, that's grim.
It is, but I felt it on Wednesday, whenever he passed away. Yeah.
The third celebrity that's name starts with D died, you know? they always come in threes.
Yeah.
Diane Keaton, D'Angelo, RIP,
right.
Of course, Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
And I've never grouped them together before, but one could, I suppose, by this one attribute.
The triple D to me has always been Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. But
yeah, who's who? Right.
I do appreciate this new spin, a new twist.
Yeah, totally.
How are you feeling about this passing?
I mean, I think one of my earliest sort of like political consciousness memories is like how much my parents hated Dick Cheney and George Bush.
Yep.
They really did not like those guys. And can I say, I think they had a point about not liking those guys. So that's I mean, my association, I would think. Tough stuff, you know?
There's always been, I really
plenty
relate
of
knock
on effects of our current political situation as a result of Dick Cheney. So
absolutely.
If you're into that, I mean, I'm sorry that you lost them.
Yeah. Sorry for your loss if you're grieving.
8 heart attacks later.
Not quite sure what you'd be grieving, but I feel for you. I do relate, though, with this like kind of cloud of hatred around certain political figures that parents, family kind of generated. And you're like, yeah, they're bad.
Yeah.
And you grow up and you're like, wait, are they? Should I have just followed that blindly? Mm-hmm. And looking into it, you're like, oh, they did have a point.
That was,
you know,
that was bad.
An architect of a war. Exactly.
And look, I know there's some wars out there that you guys are like, we love that war. I'll say it. The Iraq war, bad.
I
don't think we shouldn't have been over there at all, really.
You know, the pros list really is eclipsed by the cons list for that one.
To say it diplomatically.
You got to be diplomatic on the radio.
Right, totally. Would not want anybody to call in with a different feeling about this.
These opinions completely reflect on my own, not on KBOO's. Don't worry.
But I mean, this is also coming on the heels of a special off-year election in which Democrats did well.
Did very well.
Nancy Pelosi is retiring. You know, there's
some
things that she's hanging it up. Other people picking up the mantle.
Absolutely. You know, I was looking into Nancy Pelosi because she was another one where I had.
Have you guys heard of her, by the way? Nah, I'm just kidding.
I
want to be clear. That one's a joke.
N-A-C. No, nope. N-A-N.
Nance.
I never did well in the spelling bee. Never entered either, but...
Really? They didn't make you do one?
No.
Oh, they made us do one in, like, third grade. And I'll tell you what, this is a little bit tricky. I'm tangenting now, but...
Go for it.
My teacher was like, okay, spell I'd. And we were all like, I'd, like, oh. I-D. And then she was like, no, back of the line. And then the next kid was like, I apostrophe D. And we were like, the apostrophe, that's what we forgot. Oh. Wrong, back of the line. Capital I D. Wrong, back of the line. Capital I apostrophe D was what she was looking for.
Oh.
And I love that teacher, but I don't know that that was fair per se.
I don't know if testing people's lateral thinking in front of a group of individuals who are also all developing their brains at the same time is exactly the way that I would want to grow that muscle.
I think it did kind of unite us of like, well, we were really trying to figure it out. We're like, who's going to be the one to figure it out by the time they get to the front of the line? Because if nobody figured out, you were going to be the one on the spot. So I think that there was some sort of kind of group interest. It's not a spelling. It was just, I guess, a spelling. She made us stand, though.
And line up.
Very, and then,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just... we can end this tangent. I was going to continue on a spelling
about
bee.
About spelling bees.
And I'm retracting
and
it.
And pulling it back to Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi. I felt similarly with her, where there's this kind of shroud of like, ugh, just leaving a bad taste in my mouth. And I wanted to like more deeply understand like, what is it about this woman that I'm just like really not loving? And I looked at her like voting track record, and she's generally been on the side of progress and like delivering votes to either stop bad things from happening or, you know, make good things happen, like the Affordable Care Act and other things in that regard.
She's just retiring. You don't have to whitewash her history yet.
Well, at the same time, you know, she is just like the most ardent supporter of Israel, and that is just like, it feels so antithetical to like everything that she's voted for. And I think that I want to do a deeper dive on like what is going on there, because it just like seems, it feels very much like you know, someone maybe supporting some sort of like social progress, but also is like, I don't know, the owner of like an oil company or something, right? Where it's like there's this hidden secret evil that I haven't quite like touched upon, and I know it's there, and it's like there's all this kind of surface level goodness, for lack of a better word, and obviously being so ardently pro-Israel is not hidden, but I feel like there's more to her story that I just haven't picked up on.
I mean, part of her recent story, including while she's not been the Speaker of the House, like she's been out of power, in that respect, the headlines that you see about Nancy Pelosi is people trading on her stock trading.
There it is.
And doing quite well. Following Nancy Pelosi's portfolio, other members of Congress as well, who've been allegedly trading on insider information that they shouldn't be doing. And, you know, the crazy thing is we could stop them doing that.
Yeah.
We could. It's allowed.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nancy Pelosi's retiring. Dick Cheney died. Special election on Tuesday. People across the country are, they're not, they want to vote for something that's different. So, that, you know, that's
right.
Good. Didn't give them a lot of options.
Right.
Colorado passed a universal free breakfast and lunch for school kids.
That's unbelievable that that's not the norm.
Yeah, but I mean, look, we're ticking the progress where we can get it.
Sorry, that was a good news, not a moment to comment.
Yeah, no, well, you can still comment. You can still comment. You want to be jaded? You want to be jaded on this show?
Sometimes I can be. Sometimes I won't be. You'll never know what you're going to get.
And that's why we had to get you back in here.
I'm the wild card, everybody.
And it's not Reed doing some bizarre impression that he refuses to explain before he starts doing it.
I do remember when he did.
Which I do like, but sometimes I just wish he'd explain it first.
I do remember he did an Australian accent for a news story once, but it was just him getting louder. And
that's a commentary in and of itself.
I thought so also.
No, you shouldn't have done that one, to be fair. To be super fair, you should not have done that one. But I don't know if you heard last week on our Halloween episode, he was the Cricket Mobile Terminator. I think it's an original character.
Okay, because I haven't heard of it, but I also haven't heard of everything, so I'm open.
So open and chill to be like, yeah, no, bring that in here. Let's see.
The Cricket?
Yeah. The Cricket? Like, I think if Cricket, the phone company, built their own Terminator.
And that's what he was.
Yeah, but it does also have Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice.
Okay.
Or Reed's impression of that. I don't know. I don't want to really pull back the curtain too far on.
We don't have to belabor. It's just
cooking up.
Cricket has a lot of associations. Disney Cricket, the bug Cricket.
Yeah.
The game Cricket.
The bug Terminator. That probably already exists, huh?
That would be a
like
funny.
Like an exterminator.
Right. Or like something's wrong with the Terminator because he's got a bug in it.
He's got bugs. Yeah.
You know, like a computer.
Or he's carrying a cricket bat.
Or carrying a cricket bat, yeah, and like the little helmet.
Can I tell you, I've tried to understand what goes on in cricket. I've looked up the rules. I want to know, and it's so far it's really eluded me.
It feels like
it seems fun. Maybe I don't know, and because I like baseball and they're related.
They're related. There's a bat and a ball.
There's a bat and a ball, but there's also wickets.
Oh, is
and
that
it's
different?
Also in the circle.
Well,
it's an oval, I think. And it can go on for a really long time.
These rules feel like trying to watch a raindrop and follow it, where it's just like changing all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't understand.
I got to zoom out. I need the bigger picture.
We need the storm.
Guys, if
anyone
who wants to call in and explain the game cricket, please.
I'm listening.
503-231-8187. Is that the point of today's episode? No, but
that's,
you know, the wisdom of the crowd. I want to be open to it.
Absolutely. And thinking inside of a circle could be considered thinking outside of a box.
Whoa. Genius Box, which is the name of the show. Whoa. Quick little reset. You're listening to Genius Box on KB Radio. I'm Althea. I'm here with Eliza. We're talking about the goings on in our world.
The happenings.
And in a little bit, we're going to get into our call-in segment, so get ready for that. Although, apparently, if you know, and I say apparently like I didn't say it, but if you know how to explain cricket, I guess you can call in sooner.
Yeah, if you know cricket, and or if you just want a way to get on to the call-in segment early.
You're just giving
them
the keys to the castle.
I'm all about hacking the show. Think outside the genius box, and anyone that's
right.
Not in the studio is technically outside the genius box.
Yeah, get on Wikipedia, digest it real fast.
Yeah,
give us a ring
or read it to us. I'm okay with that too.
Well, I don't know, do that. Actually,
don't.
I don't know that that's going to be good radio. I might cut you off.
Yeah.
We also should probably mention the government shutdown that's happening.
The longest one.
The longest one ever.
Oh, the longest one.
Oh, the longest one.
Oh, the 38 day now. 39 day.
It's wild that we're at the point where they're going to cancel. They're canceling flights because it's unsafe.
They've canceled hundreds of flights today.
Yeah.
Because it's the air traffic controllers.
Working without pay.
Right. And so then
they already like laid off. There was a doge cut at the FAA that was a big problem earlier this year.
Right. And now they're all furloughed or at least working without pay.
And they've been on mandatory overtime. for
months. Yeah.
So they don't even have time to get a second job. So like people are calling out sick and it's like, oh, these air traffic controllers, what do you mean you're calling out sick? But a lot of them, it's like, I need time to make the money that I'm not making. And also the federal government won't commit to paying me back that money. Like people are taking out credit card loans and stuff like that.
Right. Trying to get another job where there aren't, where we're in one of the worst times to get a job, especially right before the holiday season, where, you know, maybe service industry and like retailer hiring, but they're probably already stocked with, you know, their staff. Like it's a really hard time. And it truly is unbelievable that Trump has said that some people deserve payback and other people don't deserve it. That word just like really struck me in such a visceral way.
Yeah. When it's, hey, these are crazy machines that we're running through airports, you know?
Yeah. And you ride them. Well, I guess he has a private jet.
Or miraculous machines.
Hey, I don't understand how they work. Call in if you want to explain how a plane works. 503.
I feel like we're like inviting ourselves to be mansplained right now, unfortunately.
That's true. Oh, we don't know anything. Can you explain how this microphone works? I just don't get it. Please don't.
Please don't.
Please don't. That one I don't want.
Cut the bit.
Yeah, no. But Lyft on an airplane? I kind of get it.
I think it's, to be honest with you, and you were talking about the difference between visual and auditory communication. I think that we'll look up a video later that I think will will do wonders for us.
I nannied a kid many years ago who loved to watch airplane disaster videos.
Oh. How old?
6, 7.
Okay.
So, you know, not really aware of mortality at that point. Learned a lot about airplane anatomy and engineering. So I encouraged it, STEM, you know, always pushing towards the STEM, or their STEAM is what they're calling it now. But wow, my mental health took a deep dive as those airplanes did. It was not great.
Right.
Very scary. Didn't like to ride on an airplane, even now.
Yeah, I was going to say, has it had a lasting impact on
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Yeah. If your child out there is watching airplane videos, just put your headphones on and say, great job.
Yeah.
You know, that can be parallel playtime.
Right, totally. I mean, they're trying to do funny safety videos now.
That's true.
Maybe there's a training video for for flight attendants that they could be watching.
I would love to encourage that. I don't know if that's the dopamine hit that this kid was looking for, because the violence, I think, was
part of it.
Was a part of it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Sure. I get it. You know, I was young once.
I too have enjoyed the violence of a plane crash. Whoa, dude.
I didn't say that.
In this economy? Can I tell you, I woke up to like a... Okay, sorry, this is back to the jobs aspect of the shutdown.
And I think that's
the air traffic controllers. Headline, like, notification. Is the job market slowing down? Like, 10 indicators of, like, here's what the data says. It's like, just, it is. It obviously.
Right.
Stop asking rhetorical questions in your headlines.
I think that's
silly, and I think I deserve better. I think it was NPR that did it. Sorry, let me make sure that that's true. But is the job market getting worse as the shutdown continues? This is what we know. That's the headline.
It's
like, okay.
It's really unfortunate when...
It just obscures it to me. Sorry.
When we're using...
Or like it's a matter of opinion. Go ahead.
When we're using rhetorical questions that... are fear-mongering as a way to encourage clickbait for your article. Like, what are we doing at that point? That's not disseminating information that's useful
to
people. Also,
because I click on it. What if I click on it and they're like, oh, yeah, no, it's good, actually. Job market? Amazing. It's like, I know they're not going to say that. I talk to people. I've been out here. I know what people are doing.
Exactly. And it hasn't... Honestly, it hasn't been good for many years.
Yeah, no.
This, like, isn't a surprise. And I think also titling it like that is, like, in this very moment, it's bad. And it has been bad for a very long time. As someone who had been seeking a job just last year, and... knowing many other people who are in the same position searching for either career or industry growth or even just a job to get by, it's been hard for several years.
Yeah.
Not just in Portland, but everywhere. And that is anecdotal and just experiential, but like...
There's also been like mass layoffs.
I mean, like millions of people going without a job that they've had for years, decades, that they were not planning on a plan B because they were working in something that they believed to be secure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's bad. Mm-hmm. And making it feel like so localized and like an emergency really grinds my gears because it obscures the way that we can build sustainable community care and ways to like promote each other in a way that's longer lasting rather than always keeping us in like this emergency mindset.
Yeah. And I will say, I think a lot of those factors are like policy level decisions. Like it is the structuring of our economy.
Absolutely.
Through our government is partly why the job market is so bad.
Absolutely.
The tariffs, I don't think, I've yet to see somebody who's like, no, it's helping. It's good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even globally, it's having all of these rippling effects. And I was looking at an article, I think from BBC yesterday, about the government shutdown and how it's affecting like the British economy. And like it has these rippling effects where, you know, when things are stopped or halted or, you know, there's when there's less movement, less things happen. Mm. Like, I think that's such an obvious thing. It's such a non-statement. Like, oh, are things bad because bad things happened? Yeah. Yes.
And those are the kind of takes that you tune into KBOO for.
Absolutely. This wild card, I'm here to tell you. When bad things happen, bad things happen.
Yeah. And that's true. What do you think about taking a little musical break, Eliza, and coming back for some calls?
I'd love that.
Are you ready for it? Okay, you're listening to Genius Box on KBOO Community Radio. I'm Althea. I'm here with Eliza. A little music for you, and we'll be back. Back here on Genius Box, it's KBOO Community Radio. I'm Althea. I'm here with Eliza.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Loving the Suspicious Minds cover, personally. Good pick, Nate. We're getting into a segment where we would love for you to call in. We're going to introduce what we want you to call about. So, and that's the part that I'm going to start saying right now. Okay, maybe I should explain the inspiration for the question first, don't you think?
Yeah, and then we can kind of do a tit for tat.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, that's a little behind the curtain there for you guys. So I've been following local governments here in the Portland area and how they're choosing to address or attempting to address ICE raids and things like that. So in Portland, city council was canceled this week because of a strike, but we could talk about that later if we really want to. But one of the things that was on the docket that hasn't been heard yet, but is this proposal from Councilor Angelita Murillo, which is, can we change city code to disincentivize private landlords renting out to quote unquote detention facilities? And maybe levying some extra fees that would help pay for the police overtime and like the environmental cleanup from the mass amounts of chemical weapons that they're using on people in the South waterfront. So that's one possible strategy. Also, over in Hillsborough, there was 3 hours of public testimony of community outcry earlier this week on Tuesday, all calling for Hillsborough City Council and Hillsborough PD to do more. So Hillsborough declared a state of emergency and allocated $200,000 towards trying to help families. Washington County also declared a state of emergency, allocating $200,000 towards trying to support families. What's interesting in the Washington County meeting is that Commissioner Nafisa Fai was talking about more of these kind of creative ways to address the issue, particularly thinking about maybe we should stop non-payment of rent evictions in the county because people are too afraid to go to work or their primary breadwinner has been kidnapped by ICE. Maybe we should stop utility shutoffs until this stops. You know, like, what are the things that are within our power that I think typically would the county would never do that under any normal circumstances. But I think it's in response to this sort of gridlock type of thinking of federalism, which is our police are not allowed to mess with federal law enforcement. They're not actually able to protect our citizens from federal law enforcement, even if federal law enforcement is doing something unlawful. So I just think it's interesting the sort of litany of new options that that folks are considering and trying to get creative to try to get at this problem. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today is some of these. I mean, we were talking about lateral thinking outside of the box, but it can be easy to get stuck in a mindset of like, well, this is the way it is. This is the letter of this particular law. We're not allowed to do this. It's like, okay, great. Well, what else can you do? What other levers are you able to pull and are we willing to pull them?
Right. And with this large issue, it's, you know, this question of states' rights, federal rights, how they've been in conflict since the inception of the company, of the country. Whoops.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Freud who?
What?
What?
Please don't explain Freud to me if you call in. The only thing I want to know about is cricket.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's this long-standing conflict between states' rights, federal rights, how, you know, what kind of agency a small local community has in comparison to the country at large, how can we have all of our voices heard, the country is too big. Like, these are just, like, very long, tired discussions, and injecting some sort of like new energy and way of thinking is exactly what we need. And is, you know, we could slice it that we're at an exciting time to really envisioning. Mm-hmm. We can have this like really great envisioning process that's looking towards a future that we are not in yet and not letting the way that the world is right now limit our imagination.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, are we so, if we're stuck in a situation, which, I mean, it's not stuck, I feel like is the wrong word, but we're in a situation, particularly with ICE, but also thinking about the government shutdown, thinking about the potential National Guard deployment, that this is really threatening, and the normal mechanisms that would prevent this sort of thing from happening are not working.
Right.
So we have to get creative. And so we wanted to talk about, I mean, that, but like thinking creatively, lateral thinking, thinking outside the box. We want you to call in about that. Is there a time that you've been able to kind of break out of a thought pattern in that sort of way? We would love to hear. 503-231-8187. We have Jeff on the line, who I think called before this. Oh, we might have lost him. Okay. Well, maybe Jeff will come back.
Jeff, come back.
But I mean, this could be any number of types of things. And why do we want to talk about it, especially in the context of something like so heavy? I think it's inspiring to hear about two ideas colliding, or like a willingness to like be flexible and think things through in a way that you haven't, regardless of, you know, whether that's like a cooking project or like a home DIY or like something at work that we were thinking through.
Right. And being able to personalize that way of thinking and see it on this individual level, and then also understand its like rippling effects throughout the community or the world, and understanding what impact you have even as an individual when it can feel like you have absolutely no power. And it's really easy to see that in along many avenues we don't have a lot of power, but there are all these other more creative ways that we can think that we do have power, because we also do have power in those spaces as well.
You have the power you think you have.
Oh.
Whoa. Jeff is back. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. Welcome back, Eliza.
Thank you so
Glad
much.
To hear you on the air.
I really appreciate that.
These are some imaginative ideas, and these ideas come only from the brains of genius, or genii. And well done. I think all of that is worth exploring. I'm going to just take a few brief seconds here to remember Dick. Richard Bruce Cheney was born in Lincoln, Nebraska, famously told Patrick Leahy, the senator from Vermont, to go F yourself on the floor of the United States Senate on mic. And interestingly, Richard Bruce Cheney was responsible for explosions underneath the Naval Observatory in Washington, which is the home of the vice president, where he dug a deeper, even deeper, bunker buster bomb resistant bunker. Why? Because we have and we know about bunker buster bombs. The man was inherently evil, even though his near deathbed conversion in the last few years doesn't make up for the disastrous way in which he led the country, and we called him Darth Vader at the time. There is one Dick left who is a good Dick. And he will be turning, no matter what you think of him, he will be turning 100 in about a month. And that is Dick Van Dyke.
Wow.
Who entertained generations, along with Julie Andrews, who just turned 90.
What?
By the way. This tells you that the good don't always die young.
That's
and
true.
I'm so happy to know that Dick Van Dyke is going to make 100, even though he made a joke recently. He said, wouldn't it be funny if I didn't make it?
Hilarious. Ha-ha.
He's always a comedian.
These imaginative solutions, not only imaginative, but also within the law, are the only way that we, the people, can do what needs to be done to protect ourselves and our neighbors. And if indeed we're a Christian nation, and I'm very, very cautiously stepping now, treading very cautiously, but this particular rotund orange Caligula has claimed Christ and Christianity as his banner, and there could be no greater apostasy than for that to be the case, because this man has proven himself to be far, far from Christian. So let's move forward with these ideas that mean that we can stop what's this nightmare using legal methods by the will of the people.
Love that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you calling as always.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jeff. And it's great to hear your voice.
And welcome back. Thank you. Thank you, Aletha.
Thank you.
Folks, if you want to call, please, 503-231-8187. That is the phone number for the show. We're asking folks, is there an example or a time in your life where you had to do this type of thinking, this kind of thinking outside the box to come up with something that kind of hadn't been done before? Successful or unsuccessful? We'd love to hear about both. 503-231-8187. Is there an example that comes to mind for you in your life, Eliza?
There is. Before I want to talk about that, thinking about like creative legal solutions.
Oh, sure.
It brought to mind this idea of like discovering and using loopholes in the law and how that usually has the connotation of someone doing something nefarious for personal gain. Mm. And as Jeff was speaking, I was really considering like, well, what's the difference between, you know, this person using a loophole and, you know, another person using a loophole to get something that they don't want changed? And I think it really comes down to, is it for personal gain or is it for the betterment and progress of your community, and being able to parse that out? So I'd love to hear anyone who has more thoughts on that in a more eloquent or less eloquent way. 503-231-8187. Please give us a ring. A personal experience I have with creative out-of-the-box thinking that was a small moment of my life that led to rippling effects in my life.
Can't wait to hear it.
I lived at a house that had a beautiful front yard that I wanted to turn into a garden, and it was riddled with dandelions. And dandelions are invasive, and they, you know, shroud a place just with all these seeds, and they prevent growth from other native plants from growing, and they encourage native pollinators to only pollinate them. And it's this rippling effect. And so I thought, well, I want to take out all these dandelion weeds, but I don't just want to throw them away. I don't just want to compost them. That's the easy way out. I want to do something different. And my great-grandma on my dad's side, I remember my dad saying that she would make the most delicious dandelion salad. And I was like, well, I don't really want salad right now. I want pesto. And so I decided to cut down all of this dandelion, wash it very well, and turn it into a pesto. I just blended it all up with some garlic, some lemon, some olive oil, a little bit of Parmesan, some salt, all the things.
Did you put pine nuts in it?
I think I put walnuts in it.
Okay.
That might have been the thing that threw it all off. Because boy, let me tell you, it wasn't good. It wasn't close to good.
No.
It was probably the farthest thing from good tasting I had ever had. And at first it made me extremely upset because I had this beautiful, like, kind of permaculture based idea that we can eat the weeds that are growing and we can remove them in this like organic way. And it's, you know, this is how I can like save the world. And of course it was in this like very small, you know, week long process that it took. And it was this like kind of experiment and more of like a toe dip into that world. And it kind of made me realize like, well, you know, we can't eat all the weeds because they don't all taste good.
Or I can't prepare them all in this particular way.
No. And, you know, dandelion is totally medicinal. I'm not a doctor, so, you know, don't take this to heart, but there are
church. Don't take it to, don't bring the dandelions
don't take
please.
It to church.
They don't let you.
No. But you know, there's like there are all these different medicinal properties to it, so there are ways to make like poultices and tinctures and things like that. At the same
time, pesto is not the vibe.
Pesto isn't the vibe. But it did make me understand that, like, you know, doing something like that in like kind of the organic permaculture world, while it was unsuccessful in that one moment, it reminded me that these are but tools in the toolbox.
Right.
And how, and remembering that with, you know, composting dandelion is probably just as fine as, you know, trying to eat it. And, you know, there are just like so many different ways to go about a problem, and being able to look at that as like a personal failure, I guess, but also as like kind of an ecological one, and expanding on that and looking at like, okay, well, maybe less dandelion and more basil.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, there's probably a ratio
which also,
that wouldn't be heinous.
Right, which also basil is invasive as well. And well, certain types. Anyway, we don't need to go on that tangent.
This isn't that show.
It's not that
Listen
show.
Listen to the Dirtbag if you want to hear gardening yes. stuff.
So true, so true. So anyway, that's like one of my experiences with thinking outside the box, it not going super well, but also having this lasting impact on the way that I think about how to tend to the land, how to steward our land, and how to talk about it and reach across the table when people have different ideas from me that I don't know will work, maybe will work, haven't worked, what have you, but being able to build on those things rather than just act in this state of rejection.
Totally. We have Dave on the line. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Hi, good morning to you. And thanks for this thought experiment. Yeah, thinking outside of the box, I think one thing we need to do is think, or to identify the box we're in, okay. too. So I'd love to throw out some questions or here, which is like, Jeff brought up it being legal, but what is legality? What is enforced? And how is the law ultimately enforced? Like what is the thing that finally makes the law work, right? If people ignore the law or come up with creative ways to skirt the law or whatever it is, but at the end of the day, what is it that makes law enforceable? And I have my own idea of what the answer is, but I'd like to hear what you think.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I think that's we were doing some research into lateral thinking techniques and how to sort of gin this up, and definitely having that sort of, you know, understanding what exactly are the roadblocks, what box are we in, I think is important to note. And yeah, when you're saying that, I'm thinking about, I mean, things that come up immediately for me, I mean, it's enforced by the force of the state, but sometimes the state doesn't want to enforce it, except in particular situations. For example, I mean, this is maybe an odd example to come up with, but like, the legal rationale why like anti-sodomy laws are still on the books, because obviously in the past that's been used for like homophobia, but it's also been kept on the books so that like sex workers can like prosecute or like have a leg to stand on in a sense in the courts to prosecute somebody who's like been abusive, which is, so it's weird. It's weird because it's like that shouldn't, we don't touch that one all the time. And you also see it with things like the smell code in Portland or weird like home ownership laws about how you're supposed to keep things, or, you know, de-icing your sidewalk in the winter. Like, right. Well, there's a law about that. You're supposed to be doing that, but it's not like, which of these things are proactively enforced and which of them are just things you can get in trouble for later, I think is interesting. But yeah, it is the force of the state, but it's also, you know, the agreement or the assent of the people that is valid in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we've fully given our consent. And I also think at the end of the day that what is the force of the state is violence, right?
Sure.
Like, so, and then if you're in a situation where the federal government is the ultimate arbiter of violence, right? Mm-hmm. So you may, a cop may be able to do violence, or the city may be able to, or state or municipality may be able to do violence to enforce their laws, whether that be putting somebody in jail or shooting them or, you know, pepper spraying them or whatever it is. Ultimately, it's the state that has the violence.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, and in the case of the United States, because we're such an ultra-violent country and we have so much more military power than the rest of the world, then we actually are able to enforce that internationally as well.
I mean, something that brings up for me, Dave, is like, I think some of this creative thinking that has come before our current moment is like the sanctuary status that are, and because it's a very different situation in Oregon, I mean, Portland in specific too, but like compare that to places like Chicago that don't have those same sanctuary protections where their cops are helping ICE and getting fully co-opted into that project, which isn't to say that like we've got a perfect system, but it is some of that like creative thinking of like, oh, actually no, sorry, you can't, unless you a judge is saying that you have to do this, you're not helping them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but if you own then the Supreme Court, then eventually that case will be getting taken to them, and we know that it's pretty much a 6-3 situation.
Mm-hmm.
They're stopping a couple things, like 2 out of 10 or something like that, but like
that might be generous.
I feel like I guess the point I'm making is like the box we're in is that we're not allowed to do violence. They're allowed to do the violence. We haven't consented to this. And ultimately, like if we don't accept that, I mean, then that's the box. And then where do you go creatively from there? But if we don't acknowledge that. So when I hear like Jeff saying, well, it needs to be within the context of the law or it needs to be legal, I kind of like go, we're not our.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. We've got a couple other callers we want to get to here. I believe we have Lizak on the line. Can you hear us? Good morning. Hello. What are you thinking about with this thinking outside the box?
Yeah, I don't have any brilliant personal experiences, but I did want to contribute just this thought in Spanish that same idea is expressed in with a different metaphor. So it's tomar la madeja por el otro lado. Una madeja is a spool of yarn. So, you know, have you ever tried to like pull a thread out of a spool of yarn? It just gets like more and more and more tangled, and finally it's just all knotted up. You can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you tried from the opposite end? You know, where you've reached a roadblock or it's nothing but knots. You turn it around and try to pull the thread out from the other way. So yeah. I just thought it was an interesting kind of same idea with another metaphor.
I like that. Thank you for sharing it.
Okay. So back to knitting, right?
Back to knitting. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Well, thank you, Lizak. Appreciate it. Can I share my example of lateral thinking?
I would love nothing more than to hear
okay,
it.
Okay, and it's going to sound a little self-aggrandizing because this one, unlike the dandelion pesto, I think turned out okay.
I thought it was very successful.
But, you know, last year, pre-local election, I was in a position in the newsroom at KVU thinking about how on earth am I going to cover all of these city council candidates? There were over 100 people running. And to cover any of them on the radio, we have to be able to offer equal time to all of their opponents, which is a cuckoo bananas rule in the specific context of having to get that many people on air. And it needs to be comparable time, right? And so I was trying to think about how to do this. And this was a challenge that, you know, like journalists all across the city were trying to figure out, how do you do this and how do you do it adequately? My first idea was, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll block out a whole day of programming sometime in September, and we'll get every candidate in here, and they get 10 minutes on the mic, and that's it, and then we're done. And I was telling this to people. I was shopping the idea around, and they were like, yeah, okay, like, we could, I guess. And I was like, no, but I think that's what we have to do. And there was a conversation that I had with somebody where they were like, yeah, like, I don't think that would work. Like, just flat out, and not a radio person, which is like, yeah, I don't think that would work. And just because of that, I was like, it forced me to reevaluate. And with those sort of constraints, which is everybody needs to be offered equal time, but also, you know, the next level of thinking is, how do you make this actually useful to people so that they can hear more in depth and it's not just like the stump speech? You want to know what somebody's actually about in context. That was what led me to create Running on Air, which was like this like long series that we did of actually like hour long conversations with multiple candidates, kind of like a random assortment at a time from a particular district, to try to get into some of those issues and figure out where the differences between these people actually were, because that was another challenge. And I wouldn't say, I mean, I think you'd be hard pressed to say that there was like no hiccups either in the product that we produced or in the election as a whole. But I think overall, like, having that opportunity for people to speak more in depth and share what they're, you know, running on in such a crowded race. And like, it's totally unique. It will never be like that again in Portland. Like, we won't have to do it that way because not all of the seats will be up at the same time. But it was like, only because I had been stuck on a bad idea and people had been letting me say, yeah, no, sure, that's right. Until somebody was like, I don't think that's a good idea. Like, that's what forced me through to kind of reassess what was at my disposal. And it would be a bigger project. It would be a way bigger undertaking. But ultimately, the outcome idea like would is something that it has potentially a lot more usefulness than just tuning in and hearing a bunch of random candidates talk for 10 minutes.
Right. And I found that entire segment to be very successful because it created something that was digestible in a moment that felt like there was just such an overwhelming amount of choice, let alone information, to figure out what you wanted to choose. And in especially with like such a high octane and volatile election year, having something that like grounded and almost like ritualistic was definitely outside the energy of that time as well.
Yeah.
And so sometimes like thinking exactly, not necessarily like, okay, well, this is the, I'm going to identify the energy of the moment and then I'm going to think of exactly how opposite I should feel about it.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the strategy, but it could be.
Yeah.
Right. That's, when we were discussing lateral thinking and its definitions, crossword puzzles came up.
Oh, yeah.
And how, you know, thinking about, okay, well, this one might be punny, this one might be plural, this, you know, having these kinds of...
There's little indicators, like such and such say, or right, like perhaps.
You gotta quotations.
Think, you gotta think stretchier.
And like, having certain baseline strategies is a good approach to thinking outside the box or laterally thinking in a way that doesn't feel like blue sky thinking where you have to just come up with a totally different way for your brain to work. That's
I leave that to the sci-fi writers personally.
Sure.
No, yeah, totally. I want to make sure we get a chance to talk to Tangent in our last couple minutes here. Hi, Tangent. Good morning.
Let's see. Goodness. Okay, you started with a headline and how evasive it is, basically. It, and I hear it all the time. It's like, I'll just give an example. Say, like, in Israel, again, bombs more people, kills more people, and they go, threatening the peace, the ceasefire, right? Threatening. No, they just, it's gone. It's shattered, okay? And as if there ever really was one. If it, I don't know, did it last, like, 3 days? Or did it even? But so I'm going to suggest that people read The Brass Check by Upton Sinclair. It shows how newspapers constantly misconstrue in the rich elite favor any situation. But here, I have a couple of thoughts thinking outside that box we were talking about. I had one I just came up with. So we come from welfare to wealthy fare. Like that.
That's interesting.
Tell me more.
Well, Noam Chomsky talked about it. I think it was Howard Zinn, probably, you know. The corporate welfare is what they called it. Ralph Nader, I think he came up with that first, yeah. Corporate welfare.
Right, yeah.
Okay, look how, like, they're supposed to be business people, but now, well, PGE wants us to, like, give them money to fund future projects. If you're a capitalist, you're supposed to build something, and they will come, right? Okay, then I'm going to play with that. You don't ask people to subsidize your investment, all right? It's wimpy. And remember, they pay $10. PGE pays $10 per year. Corporate tax.
I like calling people wimpy. I think that's... There might be more power in that than you think, Tangent.
What's that?
There might be more power in that than we've previously thought.
Wimpy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of Steve Martin. He says, I like being frisky or something like that. The remake of that old, New York movie.
Well, thank you, Tangent. Well, we got to wrap it up here. We're running out of time, but I appreciate you calling. Well, we've been thinking outside the box. Any final words about thinking outside the box? I almost want to return to it because I feel like there was a bunch of things that we didn't get to say about it, but we'll see. We'll see.
We could. I mean, I'm happy to. I agree that there's so much unexplored territory outside the box.
Outside the box. But we are in the genius box.
We're in the genius box.
So we have to be in the genius box, but thinking outside of
the
square. Oh, it's two-dimensional now.
Well,
thinking inside the inside the box, outside the cube. I don't know. I'll workshop something for you guys.
Join us next time.
Wanted to thank everybody for listening. Thank you to Nate and Carmina in the booth there taking care of us. Thank you to Eliza.
Thank you for
coming
having me on
and sharing your wisdom.
Some of it.
With the crowd.
There's more to come,
perhaps. Perhaps I'll become more wise and say different things next time.
Or less.
Maybe we could do a quiet one. Is that what you guys want? No, it's too late to call in. this has been Genius Box. I'm Althea. I'm here with Eliza. We will see you guys next time.
See ya.
Bye.
I'm Michael Van Cleek. I'm tapped into the vibe and the rhythm of the river of the city of Portland. And you are too, because you're listening to KBOO Portland.